everyone. This is Paul Bogish, and I think this is officially my fourth podcast, which I don't know if I ever thought I would actually get this far, but maybe now that I've hit four, I'll hit 400. And once again, this is the Turkey Crossing Podcast, and it's podcasting while biking to work. This morning is absolutely gorgeous outside. It's the perfect temperature. I'm going to school a whole bunch later than usual today, so the sun has risen above the horizon and a little bit warmer. Gorgeous morning. The topic I wanted to talk about today is grades. And assessing students and giving them grades. And I'll tell you, what I'm going to talk about has been in my mind for a lot of years. It's something I've been trying to implement in my classroom. But what made me actually want to talk about it is, or was reading, or was listening to Ben Wilkoff's podcast about how he's trying to improve his manner of assessing his students. The other thing that helped motivate me to talk about this was reading something in Wes Fryer's, I believe it was Wes Fryer's podcast. Hold on one second. I was reading something in Wes Fryer's blog. I don't remember exactly what the title of it was, but basically within the writing, or he might have actually, I think it might have been something he cut and pasted from another website. Basically said, if you want to try to improve an institution, you have to basically rip it apart and start fresh. Otherwise, you don't end up with any type of meaningful changes. At least that's what I got out of it. The other thing that sparked me to do this today was an email from a parent. You know, it is not very often, at least I've found, that you get emails from parents saying thank you. Usually it's just the opposite. You know, out of 1,000 emails a year from parents, or however many, I'd be willing to bet that 95% of them are some sort of, I don't want to say complaint, but, you know, picking on something that you did, or blaming you for something happened with their kid, on and on. Very few actually write to say thanks. This one parent actually did that last night, and within her email there was a line that basically said, thanks for getting the kids to work to do their best rather than to work just to get an A or just to get a grade. Something like that. Much better, the writing was much more professional than those words, but same meaning. And I've come to the conclusion over the last several years, that grades are one of the biggest evils in school. And I'm usually afraid to admit that thought to anyone around here, because, you know, people are going to look at you like you have six heads. And grades have been such a great part of this institution of schooling that without them, all of a sudden people are fearful that, how are we going to know if kids are learning? How are we going to know what level my kid is on? How are we going to know what class to put them in to high school? And several years ago, I did a lot of research into grading, both within schools and within business. And basically, any study that I looked at that covered more than a school year, so more than 10 months, showed that whenever you start grading kids, achievement actually decreases. And there's two studies that really stick out in my mind. One of them was a study of preschool kids, or it might have been kindergarten. And I believe, and I might have this wrong at this point, but basically, when the kids came in each day to school, the first thing they did is go to the center of the room, grab art supplies, and go off and create some art. And they did this kind of religiously, and every kid would always do this and look forward to it. So one day the teacher said, "All right, once you hand in your piece of art, I'm going to grade it. You know, someone might get an A, someone might get a B, C, D, and someone might fail." Well, what happened, and you can probably guess what happened, is slowly but surely, kids stopped going to the center of the room and grabbing art supplies. And it totally killed the creative spirit. The other study that sticks out in my mind is at the other end. It was done with adults in a factory. And here comes that hill. If you give me 10 seconds, I'll be back with you at the bottom. Well done. You just don't get this on a podcast, do you? It was with adults in a factory, and, you know, again, this is going back here, so I don't exactly remember what kind of factory it was, but, the guys were paid extra money, or, it was something along the lines of, you know, everybody usually would make about 100 parts a month, and they started getting graded on the quality of their parts and being paid extra for each part that they made over 100. And initially, productivity went up. But over the course of the year, they actually were making fewer things than when they started off. Again, a little more complicated than that, but that was basically the gist of the study. And you know, what I have found is once I started doing this research on the grades, I've slowly tried to figure out a way to forget about grades in my classroom. I've experimented with giving only A's or not. So you do it right or you basically don't do it at all. If it doesn't end up meeting what our standards were for quality work, then it gets handed back and it gets redone. I've experimented with the normal grading system, but, you know, of course, you know, a lot of teachers do this. You know, you can remake or redo the grade as many times as you'd like to get as high as you, the grade as you want. But what I've found to be most successful, and this might be a little, again, hard to admit, and you're a parent of next year's student listening to this, it's a bigger explanation than this, so please don't get scared off. But in the beginning of the year, I actually, when kids hand in the work, I don't hand it back immediately. I actually hold on to it and sometimes wait until they ask, you know, what was our grade? And I do that a lot for the first marking period. And what I find is that the exception of a few kids who I get that it's usually their parent who's pushing them to, you know, let me see the grade, that kids end up forgetting about the grades. They end up doing the work because it's fun, because it's interesting, because it's engaging them. And they stop doing it just to get a grade to make sure that they're passing. And hopefully by the end of the year, you know, grades is the last thing on their mind. It's very rare for the kids to hear me say, you better hand this in because you need a good grade. You know, it's the end of the marking period. You better do this or you're all going to fail. Or, you know, it's just, it's coercive. Grades are so coercive. And the second you start grading kids and using the word assessment, I think that automatically it starts a us versus them sort of thing. And it says, I know this and you don't. And I don't know exactly what the alternative is. What I've been messing around with this year is if, and this can be done as a class, it can be done as an individual, when I get a piece of work from a kid and they've missed something, not out of laziness, but just because it might be an area of weakness, what I'll do is I'll come back with something for the next time, or I'll have the kids create something for the next learning adventure in which addresses that weakness and forces them to focus on it. Or if I have an individual that I know has a weakness, or a weakness comes out in a certain assignment, the next thing that we do, I will make sure that, you know, I'm over that kid's shoulder every once in a while, checking in specifically on how they're doing with that and giving them advice. But again, I think as soon as you start assessing, I don't know. I mean, imagine, you know, most teachers are, I'd like to think, pretty smart and did pretty well in school. And I don't know if many of us know what it's like to do our absolute best on something, but still do poorly. You know, how many of us out there would be willing to paint a picture and put it on public display? I wouldn't. Why? Because I'm afraid of it not being good enough. And I see that in so many kids, especially with writing and doing presentations up in front of the class, that they know that when they try, it's not as good as everybody else, and so they don't try. So what you end up assessing is not even their best work. You end up assessing some kind of mediocre attempt, which of course then gets a bad grade, which then of course just the whole thing is the perpetual cycle. And I have 8th graders, and by the time they get to 8th grade, some kids have been told they can't write over and over and over and over again. And again, not directly with those words, but when you put a C, a D, or an F on a kid's paper, what it's saying to the kid is, you can't do this. And, you know, why would you try your best? If you tried your best to, you know, do anything, paint, if you tried your best to sing, if you tried your best to write, someone continuously told you, I'm sorry, that's just average or below average, you'd stop. And that's what grades do. That's what assessing does. It stops the kids. It stops engaging them. It stops motivating them. So I think we've really got to try hard to break away from the grades and doing stuff just for pure enjoyment. If you're creating an assignment in which the kids are getting into and they're engaged, they try their best. And I don't know, but I think their best should be an A. I think their best should always be a passing A grade. Otherwise, what are they learning? You know, it's more than just the grades, and I know some people think that's absolutely crazy. But when you have a kid who's continually trying their best, they're going to learn and they're going to improve. I mean, again, there's all sorts of kids in America, thousands of kids that fall under, you know, kind of an unschooling label, who don't go to school. I'm not talking about I'm not talking about homeschoolers that get formal schooling at home, but kids who are unschooled, no formal schooling whatsoever, They're never assessed. They're never told how they're doing. They're never given a grade. They're never given a checklist. They're never told, do this, do that. And these kids excel without all of that extrinsic sort of junk. And I'm afraid that we're kind of training our kids to search for that extrinsic sort of motivating factors or whatever there. Now, I can think of one assignment, the assignment that I think my kids do the absolute best on all year. It's a very small, short, brief assignment. It's in Connecticut, we have the Connecticut Mastery Test, our state test. In the 8th grade, they do persuasive writing for their writing sample. And as a social studies teacher, one of the things that I do help them with that is we work on a piece of persuasive writing. And it's not a writing prompt where, you know, I walk in and put the question on the board and they respond to it and I grade it and then I throw it into the garbage, which is a whole nother issue. You know, why the heck would any of us do well if we knew it was going to be thrown out? For all of you bloggers out there, if you knew that you were going to type up your thoughts and it would never get to anyone's eyes, it was going to go directly from the paper or from the computer screen to the recycle bin, you'd stop blogging. Any author who was going to write a book and who knew that when they finished the last page it was going to go be read once and then thrown in the garbage, that person would stop writing. But anyway, one of the things I think they do the absolute best on is this persuasive essay in which it's very open-ended. They have to write someone in the world and persuade them to do something. I mean, that's essentially the assignment. And a lot of kids, I'd say it's split up about 50-50 with kids writing corporations. A few kids will choose individuals. And kids writing government officials. You know, anyone from President Bush to their ballet teacher. And these are, I mean, I read these letters and I just, it's hard to distinguish the fact that it would be hard to distinguish these letters from 13-year-old kids from adult letters. And I think the proof is, for the kids who write to the White House, and I don't know if any of you have tried this, if you are, if the White House or whoever gets those letters when you write to President Bush, when they figure out a letter is from a kid, they send back a form letter that basically says, you know, thanks for writing, and it's great that you're part of the process, and please go to whitehouseforkids.gov. And they list a bunch of other websites that are, you know, for kids. When they don't identify you as a kid, it normally doesn't come from George Bush, I've found. It goes to some other department. And it's answered with a more, I mean, obviously it's a computer-generated sort of letter, form letter, but it comes back with a more personalized slant. I've been amazed at the people who have responded to these letters with such, you know, Jody Rell did a handwritten, or that's a governor of Connecticut, wrote a handwritten response to one of our girls that I thought was spectacular. Oh, but I digress again. Long story short, It's real, and there's no grade motivating for this. I mean, yeah, they get a check when it's handed in, but they work so hard on these. When we're reading them in class and I'm reading them over and I make a suggestion, they go back and fix it. You know, no complaints. Some kids will rewrite that darn letter 7-8 times until it's perfect. And you know, if I had said, all right, we're writing a letter and it's going to go in the garbage can, and I'm going to tell you whether you've passed or failed, it changes it. I tell the kids, if you pass, you get a response back. If you really, really pass, the person does whatever you say. But, you know, using grades as a motivating factor, it's just lame. I just think that any teacher that uses grades as a motivating factor, whoops, let me just change that. I think that sometimes when we use grades as a motivating factor, it's just an excuse that our what we've planned in class is just simply not engaging the kids. So therefore, we have to put the onus on them and say, well, you better just do it because otherwise you're going to fail. I think that's just sloppy teaching. So I see that I've once again rambled on enough and hit the 20-minute mark, and I'm going to end there before it gets even a little crazier. I think it's just the whole grading thing is such an interesting topic. It really, I think, polarizes a lot of people, and I think it's hard for some people to even consider getting rid of because it's something you're so used to. You know, we grade everything in this world. You can open up the newspaper in spring training and someone will be grading the Eastern League or the American League. As to, you know, the Yankees are a B+ and the Blue Jays are a C+ and so forth and so on. But I think if we can just for a second drop all the grades in this world, it would be a better place. You know, if we would, once again, I think this was the last podcast, if we would just trust our kids and we would once again spark that intrinsic power that's in them, that curiosity and that imagination and that creativity that is in there, that I think has been crushed through years of schooling and grading and telling them what to do. If we just, you know, again, let them free for a little bit, I think we would see some spectacular things. It would be a very rough transition. I mean, with doing the grades in my class the way I do them, it is a rough transition. Some kids have a hard time transitioning from always being told exactly how they're doing to being able to figure out for themselves what quality work is. And for a lot of kids, it is very frustrating. But I think it's a fight worth fighting. I think it's worth doing. And in the end, we'll produce better students. All right. Thank you for listening again. This is Paul Bogish. The website is Turkey Crossing, all lowercase, all one word, .podomatic.com. I'd appreciate it if you leave me some kind of comment if you're listening, even if it's just a hey. I know that somebody out there actually listened to this. You know, speaking about grades, it is funny how in doing this, whenever I start talking to this microphone 20 minutes ago, I always don't want to do it because I'm like, nobody's going to listen to it. But then as soon as I start talking, it becomes, again, it's this kind of therapy for me, and it motivates me to keep talking. And I know, I apologize, I sometimes go off on tangents and it ends up all over the place and my original thoughts never come out. But well, anyway, let's just end it here before this bus comes by. Thanks for listening, and hopefully I'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.